The National Australia Bank has a new ad campaign going on at the moment. Their new slogan is, "Life's about more than money." It is a brilliant ad campaign. Has anyone here seen the ads on telly? A couple of hands, that's good to see. We're admitting how much TV we watch there, aren't we? If you've seen the ad, what it does is this particular ad tells the story of a woman's life in pictures. It shows these pictures of her life. And whilst they're showing the pictures, there's a speech being read over the top. It's a speech about how raising a child costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, but with no return. The contradiction of this speech and these pictures is beautiful and moving. Now, you know ads like this ad are going to be brilliant even before you watch it, because banks have truckloads of money to give advertising companies as much money as they need to do the focus groups and produce an ad that presses all the right buttons in people like us. It's a brilliant ad, because for a second you almost forget that a few months ago ASIC said that they were going to take the NAB to court for unconscionable conduct and market manipulation. Is life more about more than money? But a multi-million ad campaign, that's all it's going to take for us to think about cute babies rather than to think about Jerry Maguire, isn't it? Tom Cruise, show me the money. We know what banks are like. Banks have always been like this. It's not a new thing for us to think about banks when we think about greed. We think about the Fidelity Fiduciary Bank. No tuppence for you to go and feed the birds. But today, as we reflect on greed, we are going to be hearing what God has to say about greed and what the problem is and where the answer is to be found. But our focus is not going to be pointing the finger at banks and other institutions. No, we want to hear what God has to say to us, don't we? We want to hear what God has to say to us and our greed and the better way that Jesus gives. So as I said before, last week we looked at contentment, and this week greed, it really is the flip side of what we heard last week. So there'll be some very similar themes and ideas from what we heard last week, but I think there are things that we still need to hear as God's people. But what is greed? One of the ways that we could define greed is about not being content. Though there are also some other biblical phrases that really get to the heart of greed. One comes from what we just heard in 1 Timothy 6. So please, if you haven't got your Bible still open, please open it again to 1 Timothy chapter 6, page 1163. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 9, we hear about those who desire to be rich. That's a really helpful definition of greed, isn't it? You can't tell whether someone is greedy just by seeing how rich they are. You can't tell simply by the kind of house that they live in or the kind of job that they have. You can be greedy whether you are rich or poor, because greed is about desire, those who desire to be rich. Another way that the Bible talks about greed is loving money. So if you turn back just a couple of pages in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's talking here in 1 Timothy 3 about the characteristics of elders and leaders in God's church, and he says that an elder, a leader, needs to be, verse 3, so 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3, this is what an elder should not be: not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Now, the word translated covetous in some of our Bibles is literally not a lover of money. So what's greed? Well, according to the Bible, it's desiring to be rich. It's loving money. Greed is a blind spot for us as Christians in Australia. It's a blind spot for Christians for a couple of reasons. One is that it's actually not a very easy thing to measure, because as we just saw, greed is not the same thing as being wealthy. Lots of wealthy people are greedy. They love money and they deeply desire to get richer and richer, but that doesn't have to be the case. You can be wealthy and not greedy. You can be poor and greedy. And so it's hard to measure greed because it's about our heart. It's about what we desire and what we love. Though, if you read the Bible and an early Christian history, this didn't stop Christians taking a strong line on greed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that greedy people should face church discipline. But in the world's eyes, and even in our churches, greed is considered a virtue. We don't call it greed, of course. We call it being ambitious or aspirational or upwardly mobile. Those are the things our world values, and it can be the same in the church. What do we want for our kids and grandkids? We want them to be better off financially than we were. That's why we want to give them a good education, so that they'll be better off. Aussie culture says that's the most loving thing we can do for our kids. But is it what the Bible says? We could also say that it's what our culture values, because it's who our heroes are. Our heroes are greedy people. We look up to entrepreneurs and CEOs, people who appear on the rich list. Our heroes are those whose net worth goes up and up and up. But it's not just the rich and famous where greed is celebrated. Think about the day after a government budget is released. A government puts out their budget. It's a very boring, long speech. The next day in the media, the question that keeps getting asked is, are you a winner or a loser from last night's budget? All we care about when it comes to the government putting out their budget is, will I get richer? We don't ask the question, is this the right budget for our nation, even for our world, because what we do here does impact people across the world. We don't ask, is this budget going to help those who are most vulnerable and the most at need? It's always, what about me? Am I going to have more money? Will there be a new road built where I will drive on it? We're being trained by the media to ask these questions, but we don't hear any pushback, because we don't believe that greed is a vice. In fact, we think it's a virtue. But we're about to hear what the Bible says. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible says greed is a terrible, destructive sin. It kills our relationships and it rots our soul. So we have a money problem. Now, normally when we say that we've got a money problem, it's that we don't have enough of it. But the Bible says that our money problem is that we are greedy. And the Bible says that greed leads to ruin and destruction. So have a listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. So we're back in 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. That's quite different from what we think about when we think about greed, isn't it? So what kind of ruin and destruction can come from desiring to be rich? Well, desiring to be rich can destroy relationships. It rips families apart. Once a bloke came up to Jesus, and he didn't realise it, but greed was tearing his family apart. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. It's Luke, it's page 1101, 1101, 1101. It's Luke chapter 12. In verse 13. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness or greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Now, most likely in this story, the greedy person is the guy asking the question, not his brother. Under Jewish law, the oldest son got most of the inheritance and with it, the responsibility. But this fellow, the guy asking the question, thinks this is unfair and he wants more. But Jesus says, beware. And we know greed can destroy families. The story of Gina Reinhart's family dragging each other through the courts over an inheritance. It's horrible, isn't it? It's really sad. But it's not just the filthy rich who have their families destroyed by greed. It can happen in families who fight over much less. Who gets the house? Grandma promised me that necklace. I cared for Dad. I nursed him to the end. I deserve more. It's real. And it hurts, doesn't it? It really hurts families, ripped apart over greed. Jesus gets to the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is greed, which leads to ruin and destruction in families. Greed leads to temptation. Greed is selfishness because it says, I want to get rich, and selfish people aren't loving. So with greed, instead of loving our neighbour as ourself, we lie and cheat to squeeze them for as much as we can. If you're greedy and you're doing a job for someone, you cut corners, don't you? You quote a premium price and then use the absolute cheapest materials, which you know won't last, so that you get more money. Or we steal, we take something that isn't ours, whether that's snatching a handbag or getting too much change at the shops and keeping it. Greed leads to a temptation to cheat and steal. At a bigger level, our greed leads to sweatshops. Now, I assume no one here runs a sweatshop, but how can it be right for someone in Bangladesh to work in unsafe conditions and not get paid enough to put food on their table just so we can buy cheap clothes at a department store, or almost worse, to buy expensive clothes that cost the company nothing to make? I reckon the dollar milk issue that's all over the press, it's very similar to the sweatshops, isn't it? The difference is that people seem to care, at least for now. And I don't know why we care about the farmers here and we don't care about the sweatshop workers over there. Maybe because it's local. Now, these issues are complex, but it's also wrong. It's lazy for us just to throw up our hands in the air and say, well, this is just how the world works, and keep on enjoying the fruits of our greed at the expense of others. 1 Timothy 6:9, greed leads to ruin and destruction, especially destruction of relationships, destruction of ourselves, destruction of other people. The second reason the Bible says greed is a problem is because it takes us away from trusting Jesus. So we're back in 1 Timothy 6 again now, 1163, page 1163, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're warned there that loving money leads us to wander away from Jesus. So 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Loving money is a surefire way to lose your faith. One practical way is that greed might lead to working long hours, as much overtime as possible, to get as much money as possible, but then you fall out of the habit of meeting together with God's people for encouragement. You fall out of the habit of church. Next thing you know, you fall out of the habit of trusting in Jesus. At a deeper level, greed takes the place of God. It is idolatry. It says that in Colossians 3:5. Greed is idolatry. Now, this is really strong language, isn't it? Especially if you know what the Old Testament says about idol worship. It sounds even a bit over the top. I mean, no one literally goes and bows down and worships a $50 note. No one goes to a church service in a bank. How is greed like idolatry? Well, God is someone who we are meant to love, serve, and trust. And idol worship is loving, serving, and trusting something or someone other than the true and living God. And Jesus points out that it's like that with money, isn't it, with greed. So Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, this kind of loving money, it's different from romantic love or family love or the love you have for your friends. But we love money when it occupies all of our thoughts and dreams. You're always thinking about how to make more of it or dreaming about your next purchase. Serving money, though, that sounds a bit strange. Jesus says that people can serve money. Isn't money a tool? Don't we use money? Doesn't it serve us? Debt is an obvious way, though, that we serve money, isn't it? It enslaves us, debt. I owe, so off to work I go. Or we see the way that we serve money by the way that we're willing to sacrifice anything, maybe our ethical convictions, even our relationships, in order to get more of it. Greed is idolatry. Because what is often behind greed is that we have faith in money to keep us safe and protect us. So 1 Timothy 6:17 says, as for the rich in this age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. This is a real temptation, isn't it? A very real temptation. I suffer from a terrible delusion. The delusion comes from wealth. The delusion is summed up in the term financial security. Deep down, I believe that with enough money, I can solve almost any problem. And I reckon that most of us have the same idolatrous belief. Hungry? Buy food. Sick? A doctor will give you a pill or a surgeon can attach the right prosthetic. Even if the unforeseen happens, if you've got enough money in the bank and a big enough insurance premium, you'll be right. Now, having faith in money, it happens whether you've got lots or you've got a little. Either we believe, look, I've got enough money in the bank, and so we believe that we're secure, or we don't have enough money in the bank and we're anxious about that. Either way, we are trusting in riches like we should trust in God. And the danger for us, the deep danger for us, is that because of our absurd wealth in our country and the good things we can do with technology, is for a long time our delusion works. But eventually reality comes smashing through, either through relationship and health problems that can't be bribed away, or the thieves and moths come in and take away our wealth in a dramatic way. The stock market crashes and our nest egg is scrambled. And then we realise how unsafe our security was. Now, this is a big one for me. I feel secure based on a number in my bank statement. When the number's big, I feel that my family's future is secure. It's actually a curse, isn't it? We think money is a blessing, but it's actually a curse because I forget that it is God who is my strength and refuge. Greed is idolatry. It leads to ruin and destruction. It's a sin that destroys us both now and eternally. So how does the gospel of Jesus give us a better way? Well, real wealth, lasting wealth, isn't found in chasing after money and desiring to be rich. In fact, it doesn't last and it destroys us. At the start of the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to seven churches, and one of those churches is in the city of Laodicea. And what Jesus says to this church could very easily be said to us. They are rich, they have plenty of money, just like us. Like us, they think they can buy their way out of any problem. But Jesus says, really, you are dirt poor spiritually. But in his grace, he offers them real riches. So Revelation 3:17 says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Real richness, real wealth, it's not something you can deposit in a bank. It's the precious gold of being known by God and being able to call him Father because our sins are forgiven in Jesus. So how do we accumulate this wealth, this deep richness? This is the kind of money we should be greedy for. Well, the Bible says there's two actions. One, flee greed, and two, pursue God. So first up, fleeing greed, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. What are these things that he's talking about? Well, it's the love of money, the desiring to be rich. Fleeing greed is repentance, turning away from the idol of money and to the living and true God. Two very practical ways for us to think about the idol of money and fleeing from greed is with gambling and investing. If we're going to turn our backs on the idol of money and flee greed, we need to say no to gambling. Gambling is an expression of greed. Whether it's buying a lotto ticket or entering a raffle at the school fete or spending hour after mindless hour feeding the pokies, gambling is driven by greed. Even for people who think that it's not a problem for them, it's just a fun way to spend my time and money, it's still idolatrous greed. I remember hearing years ago about an American politician. He was known as a Christian, but it was discovered and made a big scandal in the media that each year he would spend tens of thousands of dollars gambling. And his response was, yes, it is a lot of money, and I know that it's wasted, but it's just fun. It's just a way for me to blow off steam. He said, other politicians spend the same amount of money playing golf. I just play cards instead. And he's got a point, doesn't he? It makes some level of sense. If you've got your money, you can spend it how you wish. But it's not the same, is it? He may have thought that they were both valid forms of recreation, but they are driven by different desires. Even if you know in your head that gambling is going to just cost you money, you know you won't come out ahead. What gives you the buzz is the hope of winning, the hope of getting rich. Now, what gives you the buzz is greed. So a few quick points as to why I reckon gambling is something Christians need to flee. One, gambling is selfish. It's, I want to get rich by taking your money. If you were to win the jackpot at Lotto, where does that money come from? Well, it comes from everyone else who spent their money to try and get rich on the Lotto. Two, gambling is uncontrollable. When we are greedy, we are trying to fill an infinitely deep hole. Greed says, I always need more. I never have enough. Three, it's stupid. You can't win. Someone once said that gambling is a tax on people who are bad at maths. It's cruel, but it's true. Depending on the game, the odds are astronomically against you. And even when the odds are a bit better, they're always in the house's favour. And lastly, gambling encourages us to put our hope in money. We're told that if you buy this ticket, you'll be set for life. Wouldn't it be nice to win a million? So what if gambling is a problem for you or for your family? If it's an occasional flutter, can I encourage you to flee that greed? But what if it's a real problem, a powerful addiction? Can I beg you, please talk with someone. Talk with me, talk with one of our elders, talk with one of your friends here. Because in Jesus there is power to be free from that addiction. But the moment you mention gambling, the objection comes, but what about investing? On the radio, it was earlier this week, the host was interviewing a financial planner and the host asked, isn't investing in the stock market just a bit like gambling? And the guy's answer was, it can be, especially if you think you can get rich quick. But for Christians, I reckon there's got to be a deeper question that's got to be asked. Why are you investing? Is it because you desire to be rich? Well, we've heard 1 Timothy 6. God warns us of the temptation and snare, ruin and destruction, pierced with many pangs that comes from desiring to be rich. Why do you invest? Christian, the answer needs to be better than to make money. You may want to invest to partner with people to work together in a business project. That's a much more noble reason to invest your money than just to make money. Last year I was chatting with a guy who was really into investing in biomedical technology companies, the kind of people making new medical inventions. And when he started chatting to me, the conversation, he explained that his wife had passed away from a horrible and rare disease. And so he was investing particularly a large part of the money she had saved into these medical technologies, these startup companies, because he wanted to see new medicine and new technology make it to market. That is a much better reason than to make money. But even then it's risky. Because even with that bloke, it didn't take long till it was clear that although it started with a good motivation, now it was about the money. He'd been lucky and some of those inventions had really taken off, and now his shares were worth hundreds of times more than what he'd originally paid for. But God's word for us is to not be sucked in by the desire to be rich, but to flee greed, to flee the love of money. and instead to pursue God. 1 Timothy 6:11, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Today, my prayer is that we've been woken up to the dreadful danger of greed. We live in a culture that celebrates greed. And so when God says that desiring to be rich is a temptation and snare, and when Jesus says you can't love God and money, we think, no, that's not true. There's nothing wrong with just a little bit of greed. Jesus, I can love God and money. You've got it wrong. I know better. Today, my prayer is, it's a prayer for myself and for all of us, that our ears have been opened to hear God's word and to see our hearts as they truly are. Greed is a sin. It's a sin that only Jesus can rescue us from. The only way we can pursue righteousness and godliness, it's not by our own effort though, is it? It's a work of God's grace. In the gospel of Jesus, we are given what we need to free us from the power and penalty of sin. Jesus died the death we deserve to die for worshipping the false god, the idol of greed. He took the punishment we deserve for loving money and not God. We need God's forgiveness that is in Jesus. And we also need God to change us from the inside so that we can flee greed and pursue him and his ways. The problem with greed isn't that we love riches too much, but too little. Our problem is that we love money, the wealth of this world, which is here one day and gone the next, and which destroys us and our relationships, rather than loving the true riches that are in Christ. The National Bank is spot on. Life is about more than money. So let's flee greed and pursue true wealth in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thanks for your word to us today. Lord, we confess that we are often guilty of greed. We desire to be rich, to have more. We love money. We serve money. We trust in money. When you say greed is idolatry, deep down we know it's true because it's an idol that we serve and love and trust. And so we ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you that in Jesus there is forgiveness of sin, that Jesus lived and died and rose again for us. We also thank you that in Jesus we are made new, so we can flee from greed and pursue you. Please be working in us so that we are willing and able to turn from our sin and to live for you alone. Amen.